Books of the Bible. The book of Daniel is about one man who submits to God above all else and God's faithfulness to his people in all circumstances. Daniel's prophetic visions teach us that God raises up and tears down kingdoms. All earthly kingdoms will pass away, but God will establish an everlasting kingdom. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I'm fine. I'm just fine. I'll carry on. This is Wretched Radio. Fine, I'll tell you what's making me a little verklempt. The stuff of life. That's the stuff that you cannot buy. The things that no amount of money, no amount of labor or effort can produce, unless you are desiring things that produce fruit that is so beyond jewelry or looks, clothing, or a trip. They're kind of the intangible things that just make life deeper and more profound. And I just got one of those texts. Out of the blue, one of my kids just texted to everybody, I love my family. That's it.
I know which one didn't send it.
You two kids need to be separated. That's just like, wow. I've got an adult child who still loves her family. You can't buy that. You can't go to Amazon.com and you can't purchase this and put it in your cart and bring it home. It's the stuff. Tim Challies is experiencing the stuff of life right now. He's a grandfather, which is, how old is Tim Challies? Can you Google us and let us know how old?
I can.
That whippersnapper. Of course you can. You can find out his favorite ice cream. The internet has everything on everybody. In fact, the other day, I'm talking to a buddy. Yes, I have friends, not many, but I do have friends. And we were talking about laminin. LA, it's not what you put on floors. That it's laminin. It was a sermon by Louis Giglio from years ago. And we were talking about it. And then he holds up his phone and goes, look what just popped up. Louis Giglio's sermon on laminin. What? You mean they're listening? Yeah. Yeah, they are listening. How old is Challies?
47.
Yeah, he just looks like a pup. 47, but he's enjoying the stuff of life. He's got a grandchild. And I saw a picture of him holding it, and he's got that look on his face. Even, I don't know if it's true of women. I haven't observed it on women. Women have more of a glow about them. That just, it's more of a settled sort of thing when they're pregnant. But what I've noticed about guys, when they're getting married or when their wives are pregnant or they just had a baby, it produces a grin that is unique. You can't duplicate it. You can't impersonate it. It just comes from the heart. Just comes from the bowels. It's like, oh man, how's about that? This is amazing. And it's all there in a smile. Why? Because grandchildren is the stuff of life. If you're younger and you've been stalling and delaying, getting married, having kids, please rethink it. You're missing out on the stuff that is profound, and it'll make you smile and it'll make you glow. And then you can send whatever you want to idea@wretched.org or text away at 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Mike. Todd, I was recently listening to an episode about Tucker Carlson's demonic attack.
Yeah.
When I first heard him talk about it, I thought that he was either lying or just had some sort of bad dream. But you seem to think his experience may have at least happened. But here's what I don't understand. Why would demons scare people into reading their Bibles?
Well, that, if you don't know the backstory to it, Tucker Carlson claims that he was in bed, asleep, wife next to him, sound asleep, light sleeper apparently, and he believes that he was attacked by something demonic. Now, do I believe that is a possibility? Do I know for sure what happened? Of course I don't. But do I know that that's a possibility? Sure I do. Could it have been his dogs? Yeah, could have been. But he doesn't seem to think that it was his pooches. Instead, he seems to think it was demons. And the reason that I think that his story has some credibility, unless the dude is like a total sham, and I don't get that vibe from him, he says that he's got the scars, like some like scratches on the side of his body. Okay, where did that come from? Well, an option is demons. They are still active. They're still prowling around. And so he said that it was that event, that night, that led him to start reading the Bible in earnest for the first time. And you can tell he's a changed man. He's starting to get all of this stuff. And he's the pieces of the puzzle, he's starting to like put together. You're just watching it. It's fascinating for me to watch. Now, the questioner that was sent to 877-282-2337 is, why would a demon attack Tucker if the result were going to be that he read the Bible? And the answer is Job. Satan went after Job like a nobody's business, and he didn't know what the consequences were going to be. Satan and the demons, they cannot predict the future. They did not know what Tucker was going to do. I'm just imagining, hey, we've got permission to go after Tucker. Let's rip him up. Let's scare him. Maybe he'll quit. I don't know what they were thinking. They no doubt weren't thinking it was going to lead him to read the Bible, but God did. And so God, if you will, grants permission for them to prowl about doing their business because he uses even their evil deeds to bring about good results and glory to him. So I think I don't see any complication in that story that the demons wouldn't have do it because they knew he would read the Bible because they don't know. And if you're wondering, by the way, can demons, okay, if they can't predict the future, they can't predict the future accurately, but I would suggest this, they maybe are better predictors of it than most. And the only reason I say that is because they've been prowling about for how long? Thousands of years. They've learned some stuff. They've seen some patterns and trends. They know that if I do this with this guy, or if I put that in front of that person's path, chances are they're going to do this. Yeah, they probably know that stuff, but they do not know definitively what any outcome will be. That alone belongs to God. Do they, however, have access to your thoughts? There is nothing in the Bible that indicates they do. Nothing. They'd have to get past the Holy Spirit, and that just doesn't happen. They can influence, they can put things in your path, but they do not have access to your brain. They can't get into your dreams. So those are a couple of the reasons that we don't need to be scared of them, like, oh boy. Furthermore, the one who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. But that doesn't mean we get cheeky. It doesn't mean that we start taunting. And when we start teasing or we start thinking that we somehow have superpowers to bind or to send away or to build a hedge, we don't have those superpowers. But God does, and you don't need to be afraid of them. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous who texted in. Todd, does boxing promote a low view of man?
Yeah.
If so, is it a sin or liberty issue?
Okay, I'll just tell you. I think somebody could make a really strong case that that is exactly right. Hmm. That it promotes a low view of man because you're swinging for somebody's noggin. Put him on the mat. I mean, that's the ideal. That's the best outcome. If you're a boxer, it's not a draw. It's not coming to the end of 12 rounds. And by the way, how's about that Tyson fight? Oy, Kaviltafish, Larry. Mm. Should have known. We should have known that it was going to be this way. Because there ain't no way a 58-year-old man can get into the ring with a big 28-year-old man. Unless it were one lucky shot. Nevertheless, you could argue strongly that it is a low view of man because the best result is not, it's hurting somebody. Which, I'm going to have to go back, probably do a little search on this, but when boxing was invented, there were individuals that thought that, hey, this is ugly. We need to have some rules. If two men are going to agree to a competition, to go into a ring, to determine who's tougher, the bare knuckle thing has got to go. So gloves, you know, you see the headgear and the mouthpieces, and we've got rules, we've got limits on time, you got ropes, you've got a referee. Those were all added to just bare knuckle brawling because we thought we need to be a little more civilized than this. Nevertheless, It's still about knocking somebody out. But here's where I find myself compromising on it. Because I think that that is true of the MMA stuff that I see. It's bare-knuckled, barefoot, and you are, it's just so, there's always blood in that sport. Boxers regularly get puffy. Occasionally, they get a split lip, and they get a headbutt to the eyebrow, whatever. But the guys that are in the MMA, man, it is ugly. And I look at that, and I go, I think that's crossing the line, and I don't think that that is appropriate. What's the distinction in my mind besides the brutality of one versus the brutality of the other? Preference. I kind of like watching boxing. I don't care for MMA. I find it just too, it's just too low of a view of image bearers. I don't think it crosses that line with boxing. Could I be wrong? Yeah. Yeah, I could. Because the reality is on this issue, like we can with many other issues, I know I'm not giving an answer, but perhaps this will at least be a confessional that might be helpful. I got to be careful. I don't bring my preferences to the issue because I do think you could make the case that boxing with rules and all still could be a low view of image bearers. This is Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in. but those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, I'm your hypocritical host, Todd. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337.
Why are you a hypocrite now?
I like boxing and I don't care for the MMA. Okay. That's all. I can't give you an exact pinpointed, here's the exact line and rule, except it's my preference. Please send your preferential wretched things to 877- What?
I'm just going to correct you on something. I guess I could have waited to the question and just-
You could have waited till we were off the air. This is humiliating.
You said that we shouldn't have expected anything less than Mike Tyson losing that fight.
Yes.
There were like 12 opportunities he could have won that fight.
No, he couldn't have.
Yes.
He didn't have it.
It was fixed.
It could have been 18 punches, dude. 18 punches. Now, they were shortened rounds. There were only 8 rounds. So in 16 minutes, he threw 18 punches.
He could have killed that kid.
Why didn't he?
Because he made a lot of money not to.
Why? Wait a second. Hold on. Maybe you're hearing this where you are, too. Is that a helicopter in the distance? Who are they that wanted that kid, who apparently isn't a very popular fellow, to win?
Who are they?
Yeah.
He himself.
What, so he paid Mike Tyson money?
His company's worth a lot of money.
So you think...
I don't know the truth behind it. I wasn't in the room when all the negotiations went, but I don't want to believe any less about Mike Tyson, so that's what I'm going to believe.
You like Mike Tyson?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I like his legacy.
So you like cannibals?
That's right.
This is what you like. Could he have? I don't know. Here's what I thought. When he came out of that corner, I went, nope, not going to happen. Because he used to come out of the corner like a raging bull. He was like a missile to the guy and would throw one or two punches, ding, 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 all over. He kind of sauntered out. He looks like he had a kind of a bad knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he just held tight. And I didn't see any flashes of anything. He could have thrown some punches. Then dinged him up a little bit. Nothing. I think he was trying to... Okay, so here's my conspiracy theory. Good Christian radio, Friel.
Right.
Here's my theory on the deal. That Mike Tyson, I think, was paid $20 million, something like that.
Right.
And he's going, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm picking up my paycheck I'm headed to the Bahamas for retirement. Write what you want to. I'm protecting my head. And I think that's what went down. So
okay. There. Okay.
Wait a second. I think I hear that same helicopter flying over head. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Ben. Todd, I've gotten to the point where I do not see the point of prayers of supplication. I've not heard or read anything convincing me that my prayers are actually changing my circumstances. I ask and hope to receive as scripture commands, but do not actually believe those prayers will make a difference, especially when ordinary means are not in place.
Mm-hmm.
I know prayer does not change the will of God, but I don't see what purpose prayers of supplication have.
Well, let me just boil this down, which might come across a little bit sharp, but it's in an effort to perhaps encourage you. If you are right that your prayers of supplication have no value, have no impact, then the Bible and God are wrong. Now that resolves it right there, because the fervent prayers of a righteous man avail much. Trust that promise. Keep on praying. Don't stop petitioning. Jesus told you to ask and to seek and to knock. Keep banging on heaven's door. The Lord hears all of your prayers. And you need to trust that however he answers them, and he does answer them, there are no unanswered prayers with God. It's just that sometimes his answer is no, or later, or I've got a better plan. And he implements that. But that does not mean that you should stop praying. You should continue praying fervently. In fact, I would encourage this, and I know that this can quickly devolve into crazy sort of word faith and the horrible, you insist that God deliver on his promises. Don't want to do that. But I do believe that we should pray with expectancy. Do we really believe that God wants to hear our prayers and listens to them and rightly understood, responds to them, do we believe it? Then how are we praying? Just maybe ask yourself the question about something really difficult. You've got a really prodigal child, and you're thinking they're just too far gone. As you speak, they've got a heroin needle between their toes. And okay, well, Lord, if you can save them, no, don't be weak in your prayers. Lord, you sent your son to save sinners. Please save my child. I know you love to save people. Please find joy in saving my child. I'm trusting you with my child. I'm powerless in this situation. I'm fully trusting you. Do a great work and pray with expectancy that God does indeed answer prayers. And just to deal with what I think is always an accompanying question to a scenario like this, well, what's the point if God is sovereign? Everything is predetermined. I understand it this way, that your prayers were known before eternity passed. And that's woven into God's very meticulous plan for what he does and how he moves. So keep on praying, because if you're right, God is wrong. And we know that's not an option. 8-7, you got something else?
Yeah, I would just say that prayer, it's because he talked about changing his circumstances, and it's not necessarily meant to change your circumstances or to change God's will, but the prayer is meant to change your will to align it to God's will.
That's very true.
And so I would just focus on that.
And don't forget, if maybe this could be a component of it for this fellow, that prayer should be something that is sweet. Have you ever experienced this? You spend time praying, and maybe in the beginning you struggled. It was just hard to get your mind calmed down. I don't care if it's first thing in the morning. I don't know about your brain, but So getting that thing calmed down, it's a bit of a battle. But let's say that you stay in there. When you're done, don't you just kind of, okay, I hate to say it because it sounds kind of mystical, just feel better? Like, oh, okay, it's okay. Even if it's something that you brought to the Lord, there is an issue, it's a struggle, it's a child, it's job, money, whatever, and you just spend time with the Lord in prayer, it's just good for you, regardless of his answer. I think that he ministers to us through prayer. It is one of the means of growth, after all, that's listed in Acts 2:42. So please keep on praying and do it with some expectancy, with some optimism, and send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
Well, this is from John, and it's about prayer, so we're going to hang with that for just a second. He says, Todd, do we pray with, for, or over someone?
There's a prepositional challenge. You pray with somebody?
Yeah.
You pray for somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah, for and over, kind of the same thing. Yeah, I wouldn't import anything more into it than that, as if somehow one of those prepositions has more efficacy than the other. So you can do all of those things. If you do not have a copy of Ken Boa's Praying the Scriptures, you can get it at fortisinstitute.org. We still have the store there, and you can avail yourself of that book. I promise you it will help you. In fact, hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
This might make somebody you know very happy. If you get that book from us and you try it, and you, let's say, for 30 days, and you go, nah, this was stupid, send it back. We'll give you your money back. I look at you.
I'm trying to figure out who it's going to make happy.
Somebody you live with.
Oh, okay.
She's going to have to handle that.
Yeah.
But I know that you're not going to. It's so helpful. It's praying the scriptures, praying Bible verses, and it'll help keep your brain plugged in. Maybe it's been a bit since you've prayed for a long time. Let's not get mystical, but it's just good. And you're missing out on something that is good for you. And you can always know that your prayers are presented to God in a way that is pleasing to him because they go through your mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on praying and keep on sending stuff to idea@wretched.org.
I need to pray for you.
You were going to try to just get away. You were just hoping I'd blather on for another minute and 4 seconds, so weren't you?
So this is from Sarah. Todd, a person introduces themselves and says their pronouns and then asks what your pronouns are. Would saying any pronouns at all somehow be agreeing with this pronoun nonsense?
You're throwing me that one.
I am.
It's all nonsense. Don't be hateful. Don't be mean. Be helpful. Oh, my pronouns. Isn't it obvious? I think I've got some work to do. Because if you can't tell what I am, why would you ask that? And then try to minister to the person. They're so lost. And really, they're no more lost than any other lost person. It's just in this type of thing, it's so obvious that you're just seeing a mind that is Romans 1. So don't get mad at them. But I don't think we should be participating in it. And I would even go a step further and say we can use it to help their minds get illuminated, which only happens through regeneration, which only happens from sharing the gospel. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.